9:30 WFMD is at your service, featuring local business people who are experts in their field.
Cross a few creeks, and a couple little shacks. Yeah, you gotta get lost.
Good morning, WFMD listeners. This is Jay Day.
And Christina Day.
With Real Talk Real Estate. And we are working our way through the year. October 1st, and time is flying by. There's lots changing. So what do you want to start us out with this morning?
Well, we just got back from a two-week world tour, right? Going to real estate conventions and mastermind groups and collaborating with others in the industry about what is actually happening. And it's really interesting because there's different pockets in different locations that are really feeling the effects of the economic climate. And I'll apologize in advance to our listeners. This might have a little bit of a political inflection in it, but it's because the politics of the day are kind of governing and driving the economy and the interest rates and all the things that affect real estate.
I'm never allowed to bring politics into anything.
But
about to make real estate great again? Is that what I'm hearing?
So what I think, is really important to keep in mind is that, and I wish our policymakers would keep this in mind. Real estate is one of the most hard-hitting driving forces in an economy. You know, the bottom line effect of a real estate sale, from transfer and recordation taxes to the government, from the real estate people who are involved, lenders, title companies, home inspectors, surveyors. Just at the transactional level, there's a lot of dollars. But then there's also moving companies. There's the people who put the sign in the yard. There's the people after the fact who are replacing carpets, cleaning carpets, painting walls. Real estate has a very high impact on local economies.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the same thing with, anyone who's listened to this has seen, it's what's happening in the stock market, too. That's massive as well. And realistically, what they're saying is, and the reaction from the stock market shows it, that no one trusts or thinks the Fed knows what they're doing.
Right.
And that's what's causing a lot of this angst, I would say. You know, we went from 2.5% interest rate at the beginning of the year to this past week we hit 7.5%.
In 9 months.
Yeah. And all the predictors that were out there, Fannie, Freddie, all of those said, they didn't see us even hitting, maybe 6.5. They were not predicting to be in the sevens at all this year. And I just covered that on my podcast a bit ago. And I'm like, I don't think that's right. Just looking at the basics of the economy and where the direction in which things are going.
Yeah. And that's the kind of unknown, right? There's lots of predictions, but we all know about predictions and crystal balls, especially now that it's spooky season, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about stats, because locally, how we evaluate how our market is doing is we look at the statistical data, and that gives us an indication as to where we are. And, Jay and I are very focused on what's happening in our local market. The area that we cover is about a 90-minute radius of Frederick. So we touch into southern PA, we touch into northern West Virginia, northern Virginia. And so all of these areas are going to have a slight variation. Our office being based in Frederick, we focus on the Frederick numbers. Frederick's numbers are always going to be a little bit stronger, and then the numbers are going to lessen or weaken a little bit as you spread out. Now, there's a couple other key things, right? So there's always going to be a need for people to buy and sell. And in this conference situation we were in, we were talking to some very high-minded real estate professionals, and we were collaborating on what is it that makes people buy and sell. It's life events that make people buy and sell. Divorce, death, having a baby. You outgrew your house, you need to downsize your house. Financial reasons. You have made more money, you're making less money. There's lots of things that drive people to make a move, and that move is going to be regardless of what the situation is with the economy, house values, things like that. But likewise, there's also lots of reasons why people don't move.
Yeah, and it was interesting because, we had people from Colorado, from Washington State,
California,
all over the place. And it's definitely because the national news is a much bigger doom and gloom.
Oh, yeah.
But even talking to some of the folks that we were with, some of them are actually starting to see the inventory increase dramatically. And most of them were really shocked when we went into the details and said, you know, we're still in most of our areas, you know, not over a month or just barely over a month of inventory.
Right. So if we look at the actives and coming soons, and reminder for anybody who has listened before and those who have not listened before, we always extract out the new construction numbers because new construction numbers are not a legitimate reflection of the actual amount of units available for sale. So this is just resale numbers. The new construction does exist. It is a purchasable product, and we'll talk a little bit more about new construction and how that affects the market in a little bit, but this is just resale numbers. So coming soon in Frederick County, and I looked at this the beginning of this week in preparation and also in preparation for all of our conversations we have with our clients, we were at about 52 coming soon. And when I checked at the tail end of the week, it was still hovering around that same number. That's actually up a little bit from last month in terms of the number of coming soons that we have. 257 of the actives that are on the market. And that's hovering in the same range. You know, I think last month we were in that 260-ish range. So basically flat. It's about equal. Now, days on market for the actives was 25 days on market. So on average, the active homes that are sitting out there, the median of that was 25 days on the market. That is a big increase.
Yeah, that's a huge difference from where we were a few months ago.
Oh, yeah, big increase. Now, the median price on those actives was at $499.9. That also was an increase from last month. And so we're seeing that the things that are active, Here's the story, right? It's not like, oh, yeah, prices are up. No, the things that are active and that are sitting on the market for close to a month are priced higher, which means that's probably why they're sitting on the market for a little bit longer, right?
Right.
And so then we look at the amount of reductions. This is one of the things that I really like to look at. Reductions, there was 38% of the active listings, so 99 of those 257 had a price reduction. And the pricing that it had started at was on a median number or average number of $535,000.
So that's a decent size.
That's a significant reduction, right?
Yeah.
That's a $35,000, $36,000 reduction. And over a third of the active inventory has had reductions. So what does that say to buyers and sellers out there? Sellers, that says if you're going to be exceedingly aggressive in the price that you're going to ask for your house, there's a good over one-third percent of a chance or one-third chance that you're going to have to bring that price down a little bit because other people are trying the same thing and it's looking like that envelope can't be pushed that far anymore.
So let's talk about it in basic terms. And, you know, when we had our monthly team meeting, you sort of hit it pretty well. With, you know, from a consumer standpoint, when somebody was looking in January, for example, they were able to afford, you know, talk about, you know, what the affordability has changed.
And we've talked about this before. So statistically speaking, right, I love numbers. I'm not a mathematician, but I do love the numbers. For every 1% of interest rate, it affects 10% in affordability. So we are currently this week at a 5% increase from the beginning of the year to now on the interest rate. So if that's a 10% for every 1%, then that is 50% less. If you qualified for $1 million in January, you qualify for $500,000 now.
And that means so what you were paying for a mortgage for something that was $1 million roughly is what the same, you know, same monthly payment, and it's only getting you a $500,000 house. And one other thing I realized, and, you know, I did make a mistake. The interest rates hit 7%, not 7.5%,
right? Actually, on Tuesday, it hit 7.5%.
Okay. I was nervous.
Right.
I'm like, hold on, did I make a mistake on that
one? We actually, and it was funny because when that was happening, I had friends who are from all around the country, and some of them were at additional real estate conferences. It's like real estate conference season. And I got a Facebook messenger sent me, hey, oh my gosh, did you see it hit 7.5? Are you watching what the stock market's doing right now and the bond market? Because bonds are what affect interest rates. And I was like, oh, no. Then shortly thereafter, one of our lenders that we work with sent an email. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this is where we're at currently. We've had multiple price changes throughout the day. So there's a definite volatility happening. You could start the day at one number. You could end the day at another number. And there could be several in between. Don't want to be a lender these days. There's actually a lot of memes going around about our poor lender friends and checking on them. And
right.
So the affordability has changed for people. Now, what that does is that changes the quantity of people who are out there looking.
Well, and again, in layman's terms, think about it. The people that were looking in January, the houses they could look at, for the example you gave, they're looking at homes that are like $1 million. And now for that same monthly payment, they're having to purchase and look at homes that are half that price, $500,000. So what that home looks like, because we've still
very
seen
we're
still seeing appreciation. So it's not like the house that was $1 million in January is now listed for $500,000. That one's listed for $1 million+. So, you know, it's definitely a change. And then the same thing, I think we've talked about this on the show already, but, you know, the expectation from the buyer is becoming much higher because they want, you know, they don't want to have to change flooring. They don't want to have to paint because they're paying double of what they were paying if they started looking originally at the beginning of the year or last year.
Yeah. And sellers, that means that, you know, where we were getting away with not doing as much, you're going to have to start cleaning up your house.
Yeah.
So now, contracts and pendings, they also tell a story, right? So they give us a little look at what the last 30 days or so has brought in terms of what actually is moving. And so the number of contract and pending sales, 339. So you see that inventory shortage? We were at 257 for active. We were at 339 for contract and pending. We have more contract and pending than we do active inventory. So the consumption is still happening. However, days on market for the contract and pending median number was 14 and 9. And then the median price, though, get this, 425 and 405. So
that's a lot lower than
it is lower. It's a lot lower than the actives, which says what's moving. Lower price stuff is moving.
Right.
And I don't know if you recall, maybe 2-3 years ago, we were doing one of our shows or podcasts, and we had Wayne Six of Six and Associates Appraisals, who is the, in my opinion, my most respected, knowledgeable appraiser that we are so blessed to have here in the area. And he was saying back then that there was really a definite line in activity when it came to 500 plus homes, right? Because there was the affordability piece of it. And back then, I mean, the rates were still good. I mean, I think we were looking at like fours, threes. But there was a definite difference with the amount of inventory that was available. Buyer motivation was different. So there was a lot of differences back then. And that line in the sand was really around 500,000 for Frederick. Now, keep in mind, we've had 2 to 3 years of this artificially inflated economy and this soaring real estate market because of it. And so when you think about the amount of appreciation we had, let's say it was even only 1% a month, which we know in some cases it was more than that. You're looking at 30%+ appreciation.
Yeah.
Just based on the market doing what the market was doing over the last 2.5-3 years.
That sort of can happen when you dump that much money into the economy, right?
Yeah, it was like $4.7 trillion? And you have artificially reduced interest rates as well. So now people have all of this buying power, and a $500,000 buyer is buying a $1 million house, right? Because they can afford it.
Yep.
So the reductions on the contracted was only 24%. So just a hair less than a quarter of the ones that were under contract had to have a reduction. So you're seeing lower priced things that are more universally appealing from a price standpoint are the things that are moving.
All right. So that's a lot of numbers. Hang tight. We're going to give you a break to try and catch your breath and get all that figured out. We'll be right back with you.
Hello, this is Jay Day with Jay Day and the Day Home Team of Real Estate Teams. You've heard the DJs on the station talk about me and recommend me and my team for over 10 years now. I'm sure you've also heard a lot in the news and are very concerned about the economy, interest rates, and what's happening in the housing market. And rightly so, with so many mixed messages, it can create anxiety over what is the right move right now. This is not the time for gimmicks. Now more than ever, you need a realtor who you can really talk to, an agent who will give you options based on your situations, an agent who intimately knows the area and the changing market, a small and dedicated team with over 50 years combined experience and over 6,000 transactions under their belt. An agent who has been through numerous market conditions, recessions, and thrive while helping clients buy and sell in the most uncertain of times. Our mission is to service our community. Our agents have real conversations where we combine your wants and your needs with our expertise to create a real solution. We care about you and your move. You can reach us at 866-702-9038 or connect with us online at dayhometeam.com and experience the difference today.
And we're back. So as you're making everybody's head spin with all those numbers, I guess we'll let you jump right back into it.
Yep. I got one more round of numbers that we like to look at, and that's the solds, right? So that's what actually made it to the closing table. And over the last 30 days, we had 332 sold homes. The average days on market for that was 9. The median price on that was $435, which was up just a smidge from last month. So when you said about appreciation, just a smidge.
And it's up from, what was the median for the ones under contract?
The ones under contract was 425 and 405 because there's two different contract statuses.
Okay, so we're seeing that maybe the interest rates are impacting that because the rates for the ones that had sold were at least a month old, most likely.
Yes, and we'll see what happens next month, right, with what pulled through to the closing table from those that were under contract and what did they actually close at. Now, it's interesting because if we want to look at what sold at list, what sold above list, and what sold below list, and how that correlates to those median prices, there was 99 of those 332 that sold at list. So roughly a third sold at list. 145 of those sold above list. Now, the ones that sold above list were actually only priced about 415, right?
So the lower part of that.
The lower end was getting the escalations and getting people competing. The ones that sold at list, the median was about 428, 429, or 425, which is kind of in line with where the contract number is right now. And then the ones that sold below list, 464.
Yeah,
so the higher numbers are getting the lower offers. The lower numbers are getting the higher offers. And the median number is kind of going at list, right?
Yeah.
So the market's kind of falling in line. Now, that could be contributed to the way that the offer is being written. It could also be contributing based on the appraisals, right?
Right.
So appraisers are, I think right now, they're probably feeling a little relief because they're not having to come with all these inflated numbers that are so dramatically inflated. So expireds, withdrawn, canceled, taken off the market properties. There was actually a really high number of those. We had 106 Frederick County listings that pulled off the market. That was up from last month. Last month, I believe we were at like 73.
Wow.
So significant difference in sellers who gave up, right? And there can be a multitude of reasons why they're giving up. They could be giving up because they realize they're not going to get the price that they wanted. They could be giving up because the interest rates went up and it affected their ability to buy on the other end. And I want to kind of talk about that, right? So why are we still having a gridlock on inventory? Well, a lot of reasons.
See, I think one of the biggest ones before, during COVID, it was more of a, there was not much hitting the market and they were feeling they were going to overpay because of the bidding wars and all of that. Now we still have less homes available. However, with the interest rates the way they are, the monthly payment is going to be a massive, what they used to call it, price shock or something, when people were renting and then, or they, you know, they would go into a different, I know way back that was a sort of a term that was used.
Yeah, we measured whether or not people could qualify for a mortgage based on how much their payment change was going to be.
Yeah, so, and it's huge. I mean,
well, so there's a lot of reasons. I think that, you know, there's still the lingering, where am I going to go? Because we don't have a massive amount of inventory. So if I sell my house, where am I going to go? But the other thing is most sellers are sitting on a really good interest rate. most sellers are sitting on an interest rate that's 2.5 or 3-ish%. And if they sell their house, and we just talked about affordability and how that fluctuates with the interest rate. So let's say you have a $500,000 house and you want to sell your $500,000 house and you'd like to downsize.
Right.
Your $500,000 house you sell, if you're getting a mortgage on the next house, the mortgage is going to cost more than the mortgage you currently have.
So you're downsizing but increasing your monthly debt.
Potentially, yes. Now, the other piece, though, is, and there's a lot of you sellers out there who are sitting on a lot of equity, and your equity from this appreciation, it's not real until you cash it in. My mom had a saying when I was growing up, and she said, it was actually during one of the big crashes. I remember her. We were in my family room. I was living in Pennsylvania at the time, so Mia was probably 2 or 3. And my mom, there was a lot of economic issues in the market, and she lost a ton of money in her retirement account. And she was going to use some money to indulge in something frivolous and wonderful for herself.
Right.
And I was kind of surprised. And she said, it's only green paper till you spend it.
Yeah, well.
And equity is the same thing. It's only real money when you cash it out, right? When you pull it out of the house, now it's money.
Right.
It's theoretical money when it's sitting in your house.
Yeah.
So you can't actually use it until you pull it out. So there are a lot of sellers out there who are sitting on this equity. And realistically, guys, if you wanted to downsize, right, if you really want to downsize in payment, you want to downsize in house, you want to downsize in expense, you want to downsize in maintenance, because those are all the things that downsizing includes. What you're truly going to be looking at is not what the interest rates are on the mortgage situation, but what cash am I pulling out that I can use and take advantage of and put down on this next house? Because if you wait for things to calm down, there's a couple things that are potentially going to happen. You're going to lose your theoretical money that you have sitting in your house.
Right.
It's not real money yet. So if the values go down, you're pulling out less money. Secondary to that, right, what your house is going to be worth is different. What the interest rates are going to be might be different, but you might not have needed as much of a mortgage if you actually used your cash.
Yeah, I was going to say the other thing too that we've been seeing, there's still a fair amount of people paying cash for properties and not just investors. I think a lot of people who went through some of that stuff like your mom are not trusting the stock market because, you know, what is it? If you pull any 10-year period, there's always been appreciation in house values.
Yeah.
So some people are nervous about the stock market, but feel a little good about, you know, maybe what I'll do is I'll use my cash. I'll pay cash for the house. And then when rates adjust themselves, if I need the money, I'll get a mortgage then.
Yeah.
But, you know, same thing with people that had a lot of cash when the market was crazy and you could get a 2.5% interest rate. A lot of people were like, well, why am I going to pay all this cash if I can borrow money so cheap?
Right.
So now people are like, well, let me use my money, let it work for me.
Yeah.
And then when the rates go lower, I can end up doing a refi or I guess get a mortgage, really.
Yeah.
And take advantage of that.
Yeah. If that's what you want to do. So, yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of sellers sitting on a good rate. They're sitting on their affordability, right? That's why they don't want to move, and they are sitting on equity. So there were some interesting things regarding homeownership statistics. And so there's a resource we look at that collects real estate data, and they said that there are $41 trillion in owner-occupied properties in the United States. So people keep saying the word crash, right? And anybody who lived through 2008, of course, we all have a little trauma from that and worry, right? Because a lot of people were affected in a lot of really bad ways. That's a lot of owner-occupied money.
Yeah.
Right? But here's the really cool thing. There's only $12 trillion in debt on those properties.
Oh, wow.
That is a lot of equity sitting out there, right? So that's $29 trillion in equity that people are sitting on. So when it comes to what could cause foreclosures, defaults, distress sales, right, as the economy is, you know, like the Titanic at the moment, what could cause that, right? So people could lose their jobs. People could see pay cuts in their jobs, especially like commission salespeople, things like that. So there are things that could happen that can negatively impact people's finances. However, the banks don't want to foreclose on your house.
Right? No. Well, and the bottom line is now, I mean, a lot of people, we had short sales, which basically meant that there was, you know, more was owed on the house than what it was worth.
And that's not really a thing anymore.
No. And people would just walk away from their house because they were upside down, meaning, you know, they're like, well, it's going to cost me 10 grand to sell my house, so forget it. I'm just going to walk away.
Yep.
And now, if anything, what their biggest challenge will be, where am I going to go? But at least they'll have money to be able to figure out, you know, again, it's different. If you were going to break even and then you sell your house, you lose your roof over your head immediately, but you have nothing, where now you can do that and maybe you're walking away with $30,000.
Yep.
You feel a little more confident.
Yep.
In what's going on.
Yep. So there's definitely a financial security that comes out of these low rates, that most of the rates are fixed rates, that people are sitting on equity, that banks have learned how to work with people through modifications and forbearances during hardships to try to keep people in their homes. So from that perspective, we're not seeing, you know, this idea of a crash or lots of distressed sales coming. And, you know, we think from what the experts are collaborating, and when I say experts, I'm not talking about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I'm talking about the people that we get to sit in rooms with who sell a lot of homes and have their feet on the ground, but also network and communicate with people all around the country. I think that what we're going to see is probably another year or two of this volatility and this craziness, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, you said, you know, we're going to get into a little bit of politics, and I know I can see you cringing as we're getting into as I say that, but I mean, I've been telling people, you know, I definitely would own real estate because, you know, if you're listening to the show, you may listen to, I know there's a Glenn Beck program that runs. And one of the big things that actually the government came out and said a while ago was you'll own nothing and be happy.
Yeah.
And
you'll like it.
And you'll like it.
No, I won't.
Yeah.
And I will not like it.
So to me, you know, having that and not giving that up is probably not a bad thing.
Yeah. And a lot of our friends who have, you know, really heavily invested in real estate over the years, they're still buying, and they're buying properties to build their own wealth. Over time, homeownership is one of the best ways for accruing a net worth and having, you know, financial stability.
Yeah. I mean, so we covered a lot of stuff in the show. I think the big thing is, you know, we may have even brought more questions to the forefront of your mind. The good thing is, you know, if you have an agent that you can trust, talk to them. If you don't, you know, you can reach out to us. There's no cost to have a conversation. You know, we're here. We're advisors. We've been here for a ton of years. I lose track of it now. But we've been through, you know, a crash. We've been through all of this stuff. And again, we're in a little bit of unprecedented times. But, you know, we try to do our best to give you as much sound advice as we can. You could always check out our website at dayhometeam.com. Again, dayhometeam.com. You can also reach us at 866-702-9038. And thanks for tuning in. I'm Jay Day.
And Christina Day.
With Real Talk Real Estate. We'll be back at you in November.